So we have arrived at the last day of our yoga retreat, and I feel it is time to give you in parting a few little, let me say, jewels along with you, which you can take along with you, jewels which will help you to shed light on your way. During a retreat, or when we come together with many like-minded people who are thinking of spiritual advancement, then these gatherings can give us a lot of inspirations, can give us inspiration for our own practice, or we will get an inspiration to become more determined in our lives. But as we all know, inspirations sometimes wane away, they fade away, and when we are no longer in the same environment, they even sometimes disappear. We become overwhelmed by the atmosphere and environment which we were leaving to get inspiration. But here it is again. The environment has not changed. It's the same work which we have to do, the same intolerable people with whom we have to stay together, the same unresolved conflicts come out of the cupboard and like ghosts in a dark castle, they begin to haunt us again. So, at such a time, we certainly require some tools, something which can give us inspiration, which can hold us over water. Interestingly, a little while ago, it was only yesterday actually, when I prepared my lectures for at a retreat where I expect 700 people to come. It starts tomorrow at the Adriatic coast. I was reading about such a gathering in Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said that someone who wants to have inspiration in his or her life should go to a gathering of people who are rich. Rich with spiritual realization. And he gave an example which we may not be able to understand so good in the Western context, but if we move our attention to India, it's very, very understandable. He gave the example of a beggar who has not enough to eat. A beggar will know, if I'm hungry, I will go to the rich householders. And he goes, knocks at their door, points in his finger, and maybe in his mouth. And then he will get everything he needs in that from the rich householders. So in the same way, as a beggar gets what he needs in his life or for his maintenance, a spiritually hungry person can go to an assembly of spiritual people and there get what he needs. I want to say this because all of you will leave this wonderful project, including Gaurahari and myself. But please know, such projects are always there for us. In England, we have wonderful spiritual places where the Lord is worshipped and where there are good sadhanas. I was a guest to the Bhaktivedanta Manor. And I believe in Wales we also have some temples. Those who come from Germany, please visit this place. And also our guests from England, you might sometimes feel, oh, let us come again here, but not during a retreat where I have to really watch my watch. Oh, I hope I don't miss this class. Or, ooh, power yoga is now, and now Kundalini yoga, and I also want to go to pranayama yoga. And in the evening is also something, and then in the night you are so tired that you are just very, you sleep like a stone. You might have the feeling that, oh, there's such a nice environment. After all, this project is in the middle of a nature-protected area. Didn't know if you knew this, Dhammasetu. It is a nature-protected area. It's very beautiful. And you have not seen anything. You have not seen Radha Kund. You have not seen the mountain Giriraj, which is here. You have not seen the horses. You have not seen the deers. Haven't seen this mystically enchanted pond where there are dwarves and hobgoblins. You have not seen anything. You have not laughed with the elves, and you have not cried with the Celtic ghosts which are here. This was a famous Celtic area. You have missed the beauties of the nature. So please know that you are here. You are very much invited to come back again. You can just rent a room in the guest house, and you can be for yourself and participate as much as you wish, and take long nature walks and just experience the overall spirituality. You have also not visited Werner's yoga studio. You have not seen anything. What I want to now point at and go in my lecture is, I want to give you a few tips of the yoga retreat in the second phase. This was the first phase. You will go now home. This is called the second phase. Obviously, a very important principle is to retain what you have learned. Oh, this is, I hope we have something better. Yes. To retain it, that's the test, really, as our little fellow indicates with his amused smile. How do you retain something in your heart? Let us hear some suggestions. Behalten, ja. Etwas behalten im Herzen. Shadanandi. Continuing to practice it. Werner, what would you say? Wie kann man etwas behalten im Herzen?
Behalten.
You would like to think about it a little bit? Ein bisschen nachdenken. Ja. Rasa Murti. By remembering nice experiences. Yes. In the Padma Purana it is also stated, if you remember a personality who is very spiritual, you will, just by connecting with that personality in a mental way, obtain 1/100th of the part of his advancement. Therefore it is said we should think every day of saintly people and offer our respects to them. Namo Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Pristaya, we say, and so on. No? If you remember that you met some people who were inspiring to you here on the retreat, you will actually obtain something during the day of your ordinary lives. And also, what Sadanandi said, practice, a regular practice, it's called abhyasa. The regular practice of abhyasa will cement whatever you have heard. If you hear something but you don't have a regular practice, you will lose everything. It will be evaporated. It's almost like a pond in the summer, or it will be evaporated by the sun rays. If you practice, however, it is as if supplying a steady stream of clear water to that pond. You have seen such a pond here in next to the guest house, have you? There is a stream of water nourishing and resplendishing this pond so that it can never become dry. So this is the first practice. Retaining is done by resplendishing your practice. I would request all of you to do a little exercise privately. That is, before you leave this place, think of what you are going to do daily in your life. A new thing. Even if you say, I have no time really, I will have to work, I have to get the money, then the children, I have to take care of the children, then I have to study again, and so on. There must be something which you can do, Shobha, something new, which you have not done, which you felt inspired. Maybe one of you will say, I will pray every day to Krishna. Maybe another one, like we have seen Raphael singing yesterday so melodically, maybe you would say, I will sing every day for Krishna on my harmonium for 5 minutes, or 2 minutes. Something new, Stephanie, something you should take from here, and it should be your practice. It's not necessary to speak about your private practice. It is actually better to keep it in your own heart and just do it. Because the moment you speak about this, I will do this, you're in danger of losing it. The moment your practice, your private practice, leaves your heart, maybe as a matter of impressing others or bragging. Bragging is a bad word, maybe. Bragging is a bad word, isn't it? Impressing is maybe a better word. Impressing others, you won't get the same nourishment any longer. And then, so uphold a practice, and B is really very nice, Rasamurti had said, remembering. Remembering means visit the past to bring the jewels of experience, experience into the present, in present. This is very important. When you remember, don't just go, oh, it was like this. Oh, when I was young. When I was in Goloka Dham. And totally stressed out from all this yoga. you have to bring something into the from the past into the present. I did this today. I went into my own meetings with my spiritual master today in my memories, and I collected my memories and have now a few jewels which I will apply in my life. It was a very necessary practice for me. It was very wonderful. So the first is retain. then I want to give you a very ancient spiritual method which has three steps. It's three meditational steps which you can do every day. It takes 3 minutes, but it will save your day and make it a great success. I want to introduce this practice now for you. There was a very, very important meeting in the forest. It was between Yajnavalkya and his disciple Maitreya. Maitreya asked Yajnavalkya, his guru in the forest, "Forest life is not easy. Sometimes there are snakes which disturb my meditation. Then I have to take care of supplying my livelihood. I have to get some food. There are wild animals. And there is a lot of spiritual knowledge in the scriptures. But I really do not know how I can apply all this knowledge. It's so much, it's too much for me. Guru Maharaj, can you give me a simple process which you can recommend to me so that I can live a spiritual life?" This is an analogy. We are all Maitreya. We live in the forest of our own life. We have to, maybe we don't have snakes, but we have the finance department on our heels to obtain our food. We don't have to dig out roots, but we have to go to the department store or the bio shop and get our foods. How can we be, what is the most essential spiritual practice? And Yajnavalkya gave his disciple four methods. You don't have to write them down because I have made it even, I have taken the principles out of it and built them in a three-point process. The first step is, and he said, God is to be seen. What he meant with this is that every day we need to do something to connect ourselves with the Lord. You see how we apply this principle in the temple. Every morning at 7:15, the doors of the altar open and all the devotees come in the project and see the Lord on the altar. Have you noticed this? This comes from this instruction. Now if you live in your home, there are other things which you can see to do to see God every day. You can see Him, for instance, through the eyes of sacred scripture, of spiritual knowledge. Then the next process, the next thing is, God is to be listened to. That means that we do this also in the temple. Every morning we are listening to the sacred scriptures and we absorb our consciousness in them. First we see Him and then we listen to Him. Then it says, God is to be reflected upon. It means that during your day, you should find some time to think about God. Every day you should do this. There is a magical effect of inviting the Lord into our reflection process. But what happens when we invite Krishna in our minds so that we can reflect about Him is that our actions take on a totally different quality. Someone who has reflected about Krishna and who reflects during his day about Krishna will act totally different. For instance, you might find out that very often you are pulled by your material desires. Do you have this experience? And you react to certain things. But if you have the Lord in your heart, you are not pulled in the same way any longer. There's a natural, it's almost like, you know, like, here's the Lord and here my desires are, and I go like, and there's no danger. I will stay here. It is very, very strong. Very strong. You can't move it. You can't move God's position. It just helps you to stay strong. Reflected about, and the last thing is, well, this is something similar. So then Yajnavalkya left his disciple and he came back after 1 year. And although Maitreya had been very, very disturbed by his life in the forest, he must have been a person from another environment, maybe from the city. By the three simple processes, he had become enlightened after 1 year. God is to be seen daily, he's to be listened to, and he is to be reflected about. If you do this, my dear listeners and my dear skeptics, your whole life will change. No problem. I wanted to make it now a little bit more simple. I will ask Kanu Priya to just note down. Ich werde dir sagen, was du hinschreibst. Du kannst dich da ja hinsetzen. So that these simple processes work, I would like to go with you through three steps which are given in the Bhagavad Gita. And these are really what I want to give you on your way back to wherever you are. The first thing is, meditate once a day, I am eternal. I am eternal, but let's hinschreiben. Vorsicht, dass du da nicht. Kanupriya is a strong Mataji. I am eternal. In Sanskrit it's called Aham Brahmasmi. I would like to invite you into this technique for now. Please sit properly. Properly means the spine should be straight. And please open your chest. The way we heard it is in a subtle way. You can either do it like this, which is not so good because the muscles are, or you can bring your shoulder blades and pull them forward. Somehow open your chest, please, because we will create a little space and then we will meditate. Close your eyes and retain alertness. For a moment, become aware of the feeling of weight. I want to, you are now experienced yogis, just relax your whole body by this process. Start with the feet and move upwards. especially give your shoulders over, because on the shoulders we carry so much. Most of us carry too much anxieties on their shoulders. Now start to breathe in. And out, of course. Please imagine while you breathe in that you breathe in the color gold. Your favorite gold means your favorite shade of gold. Breathe into your heart space, please. Now become aware that inside the heart there's an eternal being. You can see him in your mind's eye. Again in a golden color. This is you. Full of eternity. Full of knowledge. And very blissful. Your body will walk through its busy day. You will get up, you will eat, you will do different activities, you will have communication and conversations, but you are really not the body. Like a machine made of material elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether. But you are different from it. You are like the driver of the chariot of the body. The body has its karma. Things will happen to it. But you are different. You are that eternal being inside. Please breathe in and out. As concentrate on your breath, I mean. Rub your hands gently. Cover your eyes with your hands. And then while you pull your hands away from the eyes, start to look first into the hands and then all around in the room surrounding you. I went very fast through this, and maybe not as good as I should have walked through it, but something like this will help you very much. It is a I do this process by chanting every day a mantra in which it is said, by nature I'm an eternal spiritual soul. Somehow or other I have come into this world. But now, by the inconceivable Kripa Shakti of the Lord, I have the ability and possibility to act in acts of devotion. That's how I meditate. But some of you might feel, well, we prefer to go to not meditate in such a spiritual way. We prefer, or in such a devotional way, sorry, we prefer to more meditate in a yogic way where we do not have so much devotion. That is up to your particular state of evolvement in your spiritual life. But please, in some ways, meditate that you are eternal. That helps you very much to not get lost and not get overly involved. Now I will have to take care of our youngest audience, Hare Krishna Ramai. Wir sind ja gerade richtig am Voll... schon draußen, okay. Another step which evolves out of this first step is given, oops, here in the Bhagavad Gita. It is a step where you really practice what philosophers say is the gift of the Eastern philosophy to the Western mind. As some of you know, I spent a long time in the in the Himalaya mountains, and obviously I was quite interested to know of the spirituality which is going on there. And I talked with several yogis. The yogis told me consistently, as we say in German, durch die Bank weg, through the bench, that means everyone, that if you can learn to become the witness, the neutral observer of your life, then you are very good. Witness consciousness. If you can, Kanupriya will write it down for you in her best English. Witness, mit double S. Witness, sehr gut. Consciousness. Our English guests will have to give their critique. Is it alright? Maybe a hyphen in the Bindestrich zwischen witness and consciousness. Witness, consciousness. Yes? Damasetu, what is your...
I'm a very uneducated person, but it looks fine.
And I found this witness consciousness described in the Bhagavad Gita in a way which I could really not better express, and I have not heard anyone express it better. If you would like to read it, it's in the 5th chapter, text 8 to 9. Translation. A person in the divine consciousness always knows that only the material senses are engaged when he acts, and that he is aloof. A person in the divine consciousness, although engaged in seeing, hearing, touching, smelling knows within himself that he actually does nothing at all. These things which have been described, hearing, touching, smelling, eating is also there, like tasting, these are what is called the activities of the Gyanendriyas. Gyanendriyas means the knowledge acquiring senses. He knows, while this is going on, while I'm hearing the word, touching the word, smelling the word, tasting the word, I'm not doing anything. Because, and now come other activities, now come the kamendriyas, the senses which do activities, because while speaking, evacuating, this is on the toilet, receiving or opening or closing his eyes, he always knows that only the material senses are engaged with their objects and that he is aloof from them. This is even meditation in the bathroom. Wonderful. It's very practical. You just see your bodily machine working either by receiving impressions or by sending out things like speaking, for instance, or moving. You see your bodily machine acting and you yourself take a neutral stance, the stance of an observer. What is your good name, if I may ask? Yes?
My name is Jeanette.
Jeanette. Well, that's a very melodious name. Jeanette. I have noticed, you have expressed that you are a dancer by nature, by profession also?
I was, yeah.
You were? What type of dances?
Ballet,
modern?
Jazz,
oh.
Foreign,
everything. Wonderful. Congratulations. Have you ever asked yourself, what would it be to see myself on the stage performing? Most probably you have even seen a video of yourself acting. It's a very, very interesting experience, actually. It's very, very interesting and very enlightening, and you can learn so many things about yourself, and you can even very mildly give yourself tips how to improve. Maybe one movement is better like this and not like this. You can give yourself tips like this. I must tell you, when I was a young boy, I had such an intense language. I grew up in a very, very rich family in Germany, but I felt drawn towards the street, and in the street I picked up many vocabularies, many words which high posted German should not say. It's not so good. I was a street fighting man. I wanted to, like all young people, turn the world upside down and make it a better place, at least for young people to live in. I took to the streets with abandon. And I remember when I would start talking, the people of whom I liked and with whom I had grown up, they could not understand me any longer. I really had taken to the streets. Then I asked my father, what is it? I mean, I'm speaking German, don't I? He said, yes, but what type of German? I feel I'm speaking totally normal, I said. Well, son, we will buy you a tape recorder. Now, I remember my grandfather was very much opposed to this idea, because once a Nazi came, or a Nazi invited him and asked him, what do you think about Hitler? And my grandfather told him what he thinks. A foul-mouthed demon, he said. This is Hitler. And this was taped on a tape recorder by the Nazis, just secretly. And this tape was brought to the investigation committee, the SS, and my grandfather received so much trouble from them. So when my grandfather heard my grandchild will get a tape recorder, he said, never! He was so much opposed to a tape recorder. I still remember this very much. But my father said, no, it's for pedagogic purposes. He needs to know how he speaks. He needs to hear himself. And I do remember the moment I heard my own voice on a tape recorder. It was a moment of enlightenment. I understood that my language had gone wrong. I could hear it as an observer. So this simple formula should be adopted by spiritual people. You should learn to observe yourself almost as if Janet sees herself on the stage dancing and giving herself loving tips, or as I heard myself on a tape recorder and I could hear the voice is really not a means of communication any longer. It's really something has gone wrong with it. And I express myself so flatly, I don't go deep in my language, it's a very gross language, and I don't express my heart really, I will be easily misunderstood, and so on. Learn to observe yourself. I always do this for my listeners. See, now I'm here, and I can step next and give myself a tip. And I see now, I have talked about this earlier, down, I believe, but this is such a powerful practice that I want to speak about it a little longer now. The last point which I would like to make is to see that behind everything which we do, which we experience in life, there is the merciful control of God. I remember when my own spiritual master was just about to leave his body, when he was on his deathbed, so to say. He spoke one sentence which really changed my life. He said, to understand that everything and everyone is moved by the Lord, this understanding is God consciousness. See, usually when we see things happening in our lives, we forget the relationship to transcendence. We forget the relationship to the spiritual world. But if we learn to really see that everything which happens in our life is there for a purpose, then we can make significant changes in our lives. I had to practice it a little like 5 years ago. No. Oh, when was it? Oh, that was actually recently, 2 years ago. I had developed such a back pain that I sometimes had to be carried into the car. I could not bend to sit down in the car any longer. It was not possible. There was an excruciating pain accompanying me wherever I would go and wherever I would speak or appear in the public. And I just suffered until one day I thought, well, if the Lord is behind everything, then what do I have to learn from this? Then I began thinking very deeply that back pain means I couldn't move any longer. Maybe I was stopped in my movement because I was moving wrongly. This is what I thought. And I changed my life in significant ways, and the back pain disappeared. It's magical. It really works. It's not some New Age talk. Or some ancient spiritual talk. It's something which is very, very practical. At the end, I want to encourage all of you to practice. God behind. See God behind everything. See. At the end, I want to give you a little tip to be patient and determined. Spiritual enlightenment doesn't happen overnight. Two things need to be there: determination and patience. These two qualities are extremely helpful for the spiritual practitioner. Determination, Entschlossenheit, and patience, Geduld. There is an ancient story of a little bird who had laid his eggs next to the ocean. One fine day, the ocean swiftly ran over the beach and took away the nest with the eggs. Bird mama was totally frustrated. She went with tearful eyes to the ocean and said, "Please, these little eggs are not just eggs, they are children for me. Please return my unborn children." But the ocean only laughed at her. This was seen. I should say further. The bird became so indignant and so hurt that he said, "Ocean, if you do not have enough decency and respect for the sacred motherhood, I will dry you out with my little beak." The ocean had never heard this and now really started to laugh. "Ha ha ha ha." But the bird was very determined, quickly went to the ocean, took the beak, and then started to run back, go back and forth. Now this was seen by a great saint whose name is Narada Muni. Narada Muni was just on his way to the spiritual world, to Krishna, to give his report. Krishna at the end said, "So what is the news of the earth?" "Not much," said Narada Muni, "but I saw something which struck a chord in my heart. I saw the determination of the little bird." And he explained. Now Krishna listened to this, and all the time he looked towards his left side. On the left side there was Garuda, his powerful eagle carrier with the big wings. And Hare Krishna, go to Evertide. Garuda saw the bird. Krishna looked at Garuda and said, Garuda, Lord of all the birds, the ocean has actually also offended you by offending your little sister, the mother bird, the mama bird. You please go and teach the ocean respect of motherhood. So Garuda, the king of the birds, a mighty creature, took his wings and flew down to planet Earth, and he said, I have come to on the behalf of this little bird. She's a mother. She gives forth life. She is sacred. You kindly return the eggs. The ocean just didn't even think it's necessary to answer. Garuda became angry. He took one of his wings and went and this created such a hot storm, you can say, that the ocean evaporated, started to evaporate. Then Garuda took a second wing and in the wake of the wing a lot of sand which had been risen was taken, and it went into the ocean and formed what we call in German a Landzunge. That means, what is it called? A peninsula? No, it's like the tongue of land. The ocean became threatened and decided to return the eggs before more would happen. Even now, dear devotees and dear friends, if you go to that place in Dwaraka, you will see that there is a huge piece of land which is just growing into the ocean, almost like a natural horn grows away from mother cow, so that this is a very important instruction for us. The moment we become determined in our practice, there will be superior help. In yoga, you will, in any kind of yoga, either bhakti yoga, hatha yoga, whatever type of yoga you do, there will be you can call the appearance of the tamagun. Tamagun means an ignorant influence which tries to stop you. It's there in the body. It's when you start your exercises and you feel, I think Karana, you expressed it nice, a bit rusty. When you feel a bit rusty. That is the influence of tamagun in your body. Tamagun is also responsible for disease and energy, all types of energy blockades which we experience. This tamagun comes also when you sit down to chant your mantras. You feel covered, uninspired, maybe dull. The tamagun comes also when you start to improve your life. It's almost like an invisible wall which happens whenever you wish to do something to change your present status. But you should be determined and patient. don't expect the highest results to appear in a few minutes of practice. So this determination and patience will evoke superior help, which comes. You must know that the universe is constructed in such a way that the human being moves forward in his evolution. In your heart there is a tremendous potential which is still lying vacant for self-improvement, for goodness, for compassion, and so on. And the moment you do something to enter this, the moment you do your first steps on the road of improvement, there will be a lot of tremendous help available for you. Help from the saints of the past, whose teachings are still there, and ultimately help from the Supreme Lord. It's the universe is arranged like this. So I wish to encourage you to keep what you have learned in your heart, retain it by practice and by remembering, and then I would like to suggest to you to go through these three steps in your spiritual life. I'm eternal, the witness consciousness, and see God behind everything. This will help you very much. At the end, I request all of you to come forward. I have a little present for you. Our priest said, please give the people who took part in the seminar something which reminds them of Radha Madan Mohan on our altar, and they have made the best picture of Radha Madan Mohan for all of you. So you can please come and I will give it to you. I will end here.